I'll put in tickets, but I can't win. Yeah, that's right. I get the pie in the face. That's right. So, hey, what happened to the weather? Who turned the heat off? So I was at the lake all day, you know, over the weekend because, you know, guys, you know, we had a crosswater event and like we still got a bunch of our people out there at the lake right now serving. We had a great time with the SRU, the Soldier Recovery Unit. I had a family, a wounded warrior and his entire family on my boat with me all week and got to fish with them. And it was kind of funny because these three little girls, they have three little girls, and when we first got them on the boat, the first fish we caught, they were running away to the other side of the boat. By the time we got done last night, they were kissing fish. So it was awesome. So it was really cool. And we still, like I said, we still have a number of our folks that are still out there serving with that. So what a great day. But I'm glad to see many of you guys brave the Texas cold to come out this morning. So here in Matthew 6, we're starting today a series out of Matthew 6, and we just read in Luke 11, the Lord's Prayer. And I thought it would be fitting here at this time to spend a few weeks going through the Lord's Prayer and learning about prayer. And the main reason I think we need to do this, we need to devote some weeks to do this, is because it's easy for us to neglect prayer. Raise your hand if you know that your prayer life is not where you want it to be. I've never met anybody that their prayer life was where they want it to be, right? I seek to have a good prayer life, and I even find myself sometimes, 2 days, 3 days, and I realize I've not sat down with the Lord in prayer. I know I'm not alone, right? Prayer is sometimes it's just difficult to get into that rhythm and understanding prayer. So I wanted to spend some time over the next few weeks and discuss prayer. And I thought the best place to do that, if we want to understand prayer, the purpose of prayer, the privilege of prayer, right, is to look at what the Lord said about prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ was the best prayer there ever was. We find throughout the Gospels, time and time again, we see Jesus praying, drawing close to his Father in prayer. And as I was studying this, I read a little book, and there's a quote from Nancy Lee DeMoss. I love this. She said, "For Jesus, time alone with God was not an option. The Gospel of Luke tells us that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. This is precisely where you and I so often miss out on all that God has for us. Unlike Jesus, we attempt to live life in our own energy. We think we can keep giving out without getting replenished. Then, wearied and weakened by the demands of life and even ministry, we become impatient and annoyed with the very ones God has sent us to serve. Rather than exhibiting a gracious, calm, joyous spirit, we become uptight, frazzled, and frenzied people, resenting rather than welcoming the people and opportunities God brings into our lives." And this quote is taken out of a context where she's speaking about importance of prayer life and for those who are in ministry and all sorts of things. And when I read that, I was kind of confronted with my own challenges, that it's easy. And I don't think it's limited to ministry. I think it goes to Christians abroad, right? That sometimes we find ourselves, instead of being gracious and calm and joyous with the people that God has brought into our lives for the purpose of us to minister to them, every Christian's a minister. Every Christian has a responsibility to care and to serve and to cherish others and to serve. And sometimes instead of coming at that with gracious and joyful and happy to do it, we get frazzled, we get uptight, we get annoyed. And I think Nancy DeMoss is correct in this little pamphlet type thing, that one of the reasons that we do that is because we so often live in our own power. And she makes the argument, and I'm going to contend to make this argument over the next few weeks, that if we want to live our life with some sense of joy and calmness and graciousness, and if we want to flourish, our true flourishing will only happen when we truly seek to take time in fellowship with God in prayer. And this is exactly what we find in Jesus, time and time again, retreating away and praying. And in Matthew chapter 6 and in Luke 11, we find the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to primarily in our study focus on Matthew 6. And we're going to break down this beautiful instruction from Jesus on how his people should pray. But I think it's important that we see a little tidbit of information from Luke as well, because Luke gives us some information about the context in which this instruction is brought. So just real quick, keep your finger there on Matthew 6 and jump over to Luke 11 and verse 1. And we find Jesus here. He is in the middle of doing all this ministry. He's visiting now. He just sent out the 72 to go out and proclaim the kingdom. His 72 have now returned, come back with all the stories of all they had done. He gives the parable of the Good Samaritan. He's pointing to this graciousness, this goodness of God. And now he's fellowshipping with people that he loves, Mary and Martha. And he says he's taking time with them and he's praying. And it says in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples.'" And this is the context that I think is important just to take a minute to realize that Jesus' instruction in prayer is not like Jesus coming out and he's not angry and he's not giving a command. He's not looking at people who are all messed up. It's a loving response to his disciples saying, "Hey, we want what you have," right? It's important to see this instruction as that loving response. They're seeking the sort of connection with the Father that they know Jesus has. And they know that he goes off at these times and he prays and he has this fellowship with God. And they see that and they know that it's essential to Jesus. And they want it. They know that they've missed something. These are people, by the way, that prayer was not a new thing. They would have grown up with prayer. But they just know. They just know that there's something, they've missed something in their prayer life. They don't quite have it right. They don't have the connection that Jesus has with the Father. And so they come to him and they say, "Will you teach us how to pray?" And that's the context of these instructions on how to pray. And I think it's important. It's not Jesus looking down his nose at people who are doing something wrong. It's Jesus' gracious response to his people who are seeking to grow more in this essential element of being a follower of Christ. So here we find ourselves in chapter 6 of Matthew, where we begin to break down. I'm going to read this for you. He says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you." Bless you. "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debt as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Let's pray, and then we'll begin this journey. Father, I just pray that you would make your word clear today. Lord, would you come by your Spirit? And would you show us the truth? Lord, we long to have the connection with our Father that we see in the Word. And we need you to teach us how to do it by your Word. So Lord, mold us, transform us, make us a praying people. Make us a people that long to daily fellowship with you, to spend time with you, to grow in your knowledge and your truth. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So now, as you notice, the title in your thing is Not Like This, right? We're getting into the Lord's Prayer on how Jesus taught us to pray, but I don't think we can get into that until we deal with what Jesus said first. When he says, I'm about to teach you how to pray, just as you asked, but now first I'm going to teach you how not to pray. And I think that's essential, right? You got to start with, you don't want to do this. You don't want to get off on the wrong foot. And so Jesus begins this discourse with an instruction on how not to pray. And he gives two corrections or two warnings about prayer, about how not to pray. If you look at verse 5, he says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." The first warning is not to be a hypocrite in your prayer. Now, the literal translation of that word is a pretender. It's someone who is just sitting there and they're kind of going through the motions and they're pretending to do this. Maybe they're pretending that they have it all together and so they're not really coming before the Lord with the true heart. It's somebody who's just kind of faking it. And Jesus says, don't be that person. When you pray, don't come before the Lord pretending that that's what you're doing. Don't bow your head as if you're doing something when you know in your heart you're not really seeking the Lord. Sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes when we pray, we're going to get the meddling, right? Let's be honest, sometimes when we pray, we find ourselves really just talking to ourselves. Right? Have you been guilty of that? You find yourself talking. You're working your own self through a situation. Right? And we call that prayer sometimes. Well, that's what Jesus is kind of talking about. That's one aspect of that. We're pretending to pray, but really we're just trying to figure it out ourselves. As Nancy DeMoss says in that quote, that sometimes we're trying to live in our power, in our knowledge, in our intellect, and we're not truly just seeking the Lord. He says, don't come to the Lord in that kind of prayer. Don't come to the Lord pretending. Don't come to the Lord and you're trying to figure it out. Come to the Lord in prayer, in true prayer, seeking Him. And that's one aspect of that. But there's also the other aspect of hypocrite is someone who stands as if they have it all together, as if they're really good. Go to Luke 18. I think there's a wonderful example of that in Luke. Oh, not a wonderful, a terrible example of that, I'm sorry. In Luke 18. Starting in verse 9, we have the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And it's a parable that Jesus uses. And he says, he told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. And he says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now that's two opposites, right? One is supposed to be righteous and good and a follower of God, and one is written off as a horrible sinner. Somebody that everybody else would look down their nose at and go, well, I can't even be around them. They're a sinning tax collector. They're a thief. There's a lesson in there as well, right? He says, the Pharisee standing by himself prayed. Thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. And it's a boastful, hypocritical, pretending prayer. He's not praying to God. He's exalting himself. But it says, but the tax collector, the sinner, make no mistake, this is a sinner. This is one who's mired in current sin. The tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you this, the man that went down to his house justified rather than the one other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. When Jesus is using this, I think this is a direct connection there to his prayer. Don't pray like the hypocrite. Don't be pretending. Don't be standing there like you're just exalting yourself or you're just trying to figure it out yourself. Don't be that hypocrite. When you come to the Lord in prayer, come to him humbly, knowing that you are seeking God. This is a gift of God in prayer. And sometimes I think that's the first thing that hinders our prayers, is that we often come to God either as a pretender or as a boaster. And so Jesus' instructions to us first is, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be exalting yourself. Don't be bragging. Don't be seeking your own power. Seek him. Then the second is verse 7. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. They think that they'll be heard for their many words. So when you pray, he says, don't be seeking to just be this great prayer. Everybody knows somebody that just has those beautiful prayers? That you just say, man, they have beautiful prayers. I got a confession. It was sad. Charles Stanley passed away, right? That's one of the guys. The guy could just pray, right? He's the kind of guy that every preacher wishes he had that voice, right? Because he has that voice. You hear it on the radio, you just want to, what? Right? And they pray, and there's people with beautiful prayers. And I'm not suggesting that's wrong. I'm not suggesting that people have the ability to pray like that is wrong. What I'm saying is that is not the point. That Jesus is warning that we're trying to sit there and get our prayers all so perfect and pretty and lined out. And he's like, don't come to God like that. Don't come to God thinking you gotta line it all out and you gotta get all your I's dotted and your T's crossed. Don't come here thinking that you gotta word everything perfect and beautiful. God's not impressed with that. This is, you know, it's akin to what Paul said to the Corinthian church in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians when he says, you know, I did not come to you with lofty speech. I didn't come to you with learned skills. He said, I came to you humbly and meekly. And I came to you knowing nothing but what Christ and him crucified. And I think that's an example of that. That's a fruit of that. And what Jesus is saying, when you come to prayer, you don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have your whole thing lined out. And you don't have to pray for 10 minutes. Sometimes you can just pray for 10 seconds with a humble, Lord, help me. You know, Jesus exalts the short prayer in the tax collector. Lord, I'm a sinner. Be merciful to me. This is what Jesus is saying. In this context of looking at people that he loves and saying, no, I want to teach you how to pray. First, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be pretending. If you're really not going to sit down and pray to the Lord and share to the Lord, then don't even start, because he's not hearing it. God has no interest in people who are faking it. He's seeking people who are seeking him in their prayer. He knows, by the way, when you're faking it. So that's the first. And the second is, don't be with empty phrases and lofty speech. You don't have to figure it all out. You don't have to sit there and try to be. Matter of fact, there are some people that love to do that because it makes them sound good, and they love to pray in front of others with these beautiful prayers. And I'm not suggesting that everybody does that is necessarily wrong, but there's certainly a danger there because Jesus is warning about this exact thing. And what this is, by the way, is showing that Jesus is considering prayer to be relational. Prayer is more relational than it is informational. It's not about having everything in line and coming to God with everything. It's more about conversing with God and sharing your true inner self and your true struggles and your true joys and your true needs with God. Look at what he says in verse 8. Do not be like them. Like the hypocrite and like the one who's trying to get it all right. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask. Your Father knows what you need before you ask. So we must not think of prayer as us sharing with God some secret or revealing to God something about ourselves. We're not giving God new information. This is why he doesn't care. He doesn't listen to the hypocrite and to the faker. He already knows. This is why he's not concerned with your lofty speech. Prayer is not us sharing something new to God. He already knows. Prayer is relational. Prayer is, in our prayer, we are opening our hearts to God. We are sharing our inner self with God. We share our hurts, our pains, our joys. We share our desires. We share our needs. Not so that God would know them, because God already does. But so that we would come to Him like His child. God doesn't want us to come and give him new information. He already knows it. He wants us to come to Him like a child comes to his father, not afraid to open the book. This is what prayer is, friends. This is why Jesus begins this way. He wants his disciples to know that they have a Father in heaven who is the greatest Father. And you can come to Him open book. You don't have to hide any part of yourself. You don't have to pretend to be somebody you're not. You don't have to pretend to have it all together. You don't have to try to cross your T's and dot your I's and get everything perfect, because that's not what prayer is. God already knows what you need. God already knows the situation you're in. He's looking at you as a wonderful Father, welcoming you to come and open your heart to Him like you would a loving father. This is what prayer is. This is what prayer is, guys. It's our opportunity to come and to fellowship and to pour our hearts out to a Father that we know will never take what we give Him and use it against us. This is why prayer is so important. This is also why I believe that Jesus gives the instruction to go off into secret, because sometimes there are things that we need to pray that only God needs to hear, because we know He will never use that against us, because He loves us and cares for us. Prayer is far more about relationship. It's relational, not informational. There's a quote, and I lost the person, but I love this. Prayer pursues joy in fellowship with Jesus and in the power to share His life with others. And prayer pursues God's glory for treating Him as the inexhaustible reservoir of hope and help. In prayer, we admit our poverty and God's prosperity, our bankruptcy and His bounty, our misery and His mercy. Therefore, prayer highly exalts and glorifies God precisely by pursuing everything we long for in Him and not ourselves. See, prayer isn't really about us trying to get God to do something. As much as it is the way we communicate with God, our desire to be aligned with His good and gracious will. It's the mode that God has given us that we can open our hearts to Him privately. Now, I do not believe that this is that the instruction here to go into your closet and close it and do it in secret. I do not believe that is a prohibition to public prayer. And the reason I do that, because we see Jesus praying publicly. We also see the apostles and everybody praying publicly. So it's not a prohibition of public prayer. Okay? But I am going to tell you, if all you have is public prayer, you don't have a prayer life. We should gather together and pray as saints. We should do that. But we all need that one-on-one time. And here's the glorious thing. What Jesus says, don't miss the implication that Jesus has there, is that your Father in heaven has time for you. It's time for you just to come. Not to fake it. Not to pretend like you got it together. Not to get all the words right and try to impress Him. No, He has time for you just to come as yourself and to open it up and to trust that I can just be honest. God, I can be honest with my struggles right now. I'm not going to fake it. I'm not going to pretend like my faith is solid right now. No, I'm struggling, Lord. That's what He wants. Lord, I'm hurting right now. Lord, I think You've abandoned me right now. Lord, I don't see Your hand right now. These are the type of things that the Lord wants us to bring. When you feel those things, don't fake it. Don't be a pretender. Go before the Lord, your gracious Father in heaven, that stands with open heart saying, come to Me. Share your heart. Share your truth. Share who you are. And you can know that He'll never use it against you. But He'll be a gracious Father. So by way of application, remember, God is not interested in responding to people who are faking it or showing off for others. You don't put on a fake face with God. You know, you can fool us, right? We can fool each other. We do it all the time. We do it every day. We do it every day. Here's the thing. Ladies, there's something I'll tell you about your man, right? And they'll get mad at me for saying this. When you hear a man, when somebody comes up to a man and says, hey, how you doing? Guys, oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing fine. You know what I mean? He's not. Because we put on fake faces. Because we're men. We've been trained that way. We don't open up. We don't share. Men, open up to God. He knows you're not good. He knows you're not fine. Don't be a pretender. Ladies, remember sometimes, just by way of simple application here, I'm not making a big old theology about this. Remember that sometimes the only person that your husband can go to right now is to God. And encourage him to do that. Encourage him to go into his private place and pray with God. You don't have to put on a fake face of God. I know it can be difficult. But we have to humble ourselves. We have to humble ourselves before the Lord and say, I'm just going to open it up. God knows what you need. Remember. You're not bringing new information to God. You're not going to go, Jeff, I did not know that. What God is waiting for is to come and to trust Him with you. Isn't that amazing? That God wants us to trust Him. I mean, God has got things under control, right? He's not waiting for us to figure that out. But this is the relational part of God, that in prayer, it's our way we're coming. It's for us to open up to Him, to give ourselves to Him. Not hypocritically, not with lofty speech, just with humility, knowing that I can trust my Father in heaven. I can lay my heart bare before Him. I don't have to put on a good face. I don't have to pretend like I have it all together. But I can just come before Him in faith and humility. That's prayer, guys. Don't pray like a hypocrite, because you're only hurting yourself. Don't worry about your words, because God knows your heart. But take time, daily, hourly, whatever, to just open yourself up to God. Give Him your inner being. Declare that to Him. It'll be good for you. That's how not to pray. Holding back. Holding back. I could summarize this very simply. Prayer is not to manipulate God or manipulate others with our fake faces or fancy speech. Prayer is simply God's children coming before Him and trusting Him with their entire being. Go to Him in prayer. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the truth of prayer and for that fact, Lord. And I pray that as we embark on this study through the Lord's Prayer, as we see more and more of this filling out, Lord, that we would be encouraged to be a people of prayer. That we would open our hearts completely to You, God. That we would share everything we are. Because we know we can trust You with our entire self. And Father, I know that sometimes we have things in our life that negatively affect that. We have earthly fathers that don't make the mark, that have tainted our view of that. And Lord, if there are those here today that have that, I would ask, Lord, would You show Yourself mighty to them? Show Yourself as the gracious, loving Father that You are. That they can peer through that past history and see You. And to know that You desire that they come and open themselves to You. Because we can trust You with all that we are. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer this morning,